You know what it is.
To be from Jacksonville or to be, you know, a Duvalian or whatever and not ride with the Jaguars, that's like you got a toilet in the house, but you poop in the backyard. It don't make sense.
Winning cures everything in the NFL. It just cures everything.
He dropped the throw. Looking. Fires middle of the field, and that ball is picked off. It is picked off by Rayshon Jenkins. He's running it back along the right sideline. That is going to be a touchdown. That is going to be a touchdown. The Jags are going to win it on a Rayshon Jenkins pick six.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Short again.
An all-out blitz. They hit him as he lets it go. The ball comes out and is picked up. The Jags are running it back. The Jags are going to run it into the end zone. Josh Allen scores a touchdown. Josh Allen is running back. For a touchdown for Jacksonville.
I've said it many times, I'll say it again. It's like a great gravy. You know, you could have an average piece of meat, and if you put amazing gravy on top of it, you'll eat everybody.
You have faith in yourself. You have faith in each other. You keep encouraging one another like we talk about all the time, and you believe. You know, belief is about understanding that you can get it done, right? And then it gets done, right? It just can't happen, and then you have belief. Right? And that's what faith is about. And you guys have
always Jags.
Get ready, Henderson. Get ready. The slap been a happen. We been a slap, tap, whelp, tap, 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 tap.
This boy got a hit.
1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, and E to the T.
All right, rat-a-tat-tat, here we go. Happy Friday to you. Glad you're along. It's Jaguars Today, the show that usually uses the indoor bathroom, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're normally a dude. It's one of the great joys of being a guy. You got options.
Yeah. So do the ladies, though.
Sure they do. It's just
easier. Like
you're
stretching or something.
No, it's just easier.
Yeah, sure.
A little bit easier.
But you gotta, you know, you gotta duck and cover too. It's not like you can. Well, you can.
You know. Good morning, everybody. It can only be Friday. Right. Tom McManus is here.
Exactly. Like,
what are we gonna get into that has nothing to do with sports, the Jaguars, or the National Football League? Good morning, ET.
Yeah.
Are you awake? Are you okay after your massive co-hosting marathon yesterday and into today?
Man, I had so much fun, I decided to run it back.
Well, let's run it back. ET's our co-host today, along with Tom McManus.
Beautiful.
Jaguars Today. Draft 5 weeks away.
Yeah.
Now, 5 weeks from today, Tom, will be either loving or complaining about what they did in the first round. You know, that's just kind of the way it goes. And
well, especially at 24, you know, you never know.
You don't,
you
right?
Know, it's not like the top where you
just don't know who's going to be available.
Right,
to you,
exactly.
Is a big part of the whole mishmash in there.
And
so,
you go look through the, you know, all these mocks. There's so many of them. They got it all over the place.
Well,
you know?
In a way, it kind of is conditioning people, I think, if you pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
Some people just ignore mocks and they think it's the dumbest thing ever. And look, it's sports radio staple fodder at this time of year in the NFL market. And we're going to look at them, and that's just the way it is. And it does. It plays out scenarios for you. So we've all seen, if you're paying attention, scenarios where they go the tight end, where they go the cornerback, where they go the offensive lineman, where they go the edge rusher, where they even go defensive tackle. And you go, you know, I could see it, right, for all these positions.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You know, I think as we get closer, we'll see. What I like to do with the draft, those mock drafts, is see what everyone's picking, right, at Jags. But then I also like seeing who's going after, like who's still on the board,
especially
and you're making that pick.
Those next 7-8 picks,
whatever. But
who would you have taken in place of this guy because he was there available?
Right,
to you?
You're taking him. Why, with all these other guys still available? That's all.
So
I like that. That gives me something to think about.
Saw the Charles Davis first mock of the offseason over at NFL.com today, and he had Brian Branch. I think he had Brian Branch. No, that might have been one over at Pro Football Network. I think he had somebody else going to the Jags, but there was one we haven't. Look, Brian Branch is a very popular selection as a defensive back who could come in, play nickel, who's actually listed as a corner. He worked out as a corner at the NFL scouting combine, although a lot of people think his ultimately he'll be a safety, in the National Football League. But, I mean, that's a guy that gets frequently talked about. And a guy that, like, if you draft an outside corner, he's got to come in and compete for his spot. Not saying he wouldn't beat out Darius Williams necessarily, but then maybe your best option would be Williams going back to the slot where he didn't play as well as he did on the outside last year. That's why Branch is so attractive. You know, you walk him in to 60% of the snaps at nickel right away and kind of go from there.
And again, look, I mean, when you're playing nickel and you don't have the luxury of like a sideline, you know, you're normally one-on-one. It's not like, you know, you're in and out with somebody typically. And when you don't have consistent pressure, that's a really tough guy to cover, man. I mean, just think about it. All it takes is one quick move, and you got to react to that. And if you're not right on it, he's open. These quarterbacks are, give me a half an inch.
They see it, and they're licking their lips.
I'm going to throw him the snap. I'm just going to put it out front, right?
Yeah.
They know he's set up. So it's really – it's hard. It's for me, it's hard to sit there and be like, all right, Williams is – better at this. You know, obviously he performed better on the outside, but it's hard to say on the inside when that pressure's not there. You got to disrupt that timing.
Well, obviously, you know, edge rush is a position that the Jags are going to have to add to. Yep. There's no question. Yep. Now, maybe some of that comes still in free agency with
some vets.
They agreed to terms. This is kind of interesting. You know, they agreed to terms with three guys reportedly.
I saw
this week.
Yeah.
They've only announced Dearness Johnson as the signing, right? And then yesterday you had the move with Foley Fatukasi getting his deal redone, which created $5.9 million in new cap space. Right. And then, you know, you look at it, and I think people were reacting immediately like, oh, is there a target out there? Are they, you know,
are they doing it for a reason?
Right. Is there a specific reason? I wonder, is it not just, I mean, these guys all cost something to bring on to the roster. You know, not a ton, but if it's anything above the NFL minimum, your salary cap space is getting eaten up a little bit there, you know, because you usually have a handful of guys making NFL minimum at the end of your roster, and the salary cap counts like the top 51 or top 53.
Not sure the calculation. You know, look, I don't know in Foley's case, but you know, with contracts, you know, they could be done after 2 years. They find a way.
Absolutely.
If they got to pay him that money anyway, they just move it up to now, and then he's got to perform. Look, when he came down here as a free agent last year, I was really excited. My New York friends were like, this guy can really ball, man. He is you're going to love him.
Tom, they said he was their number one defensive target.
I know.
Right? In free agency.
Had injuries, and that does affect your play. But, you know, and he made some plays towards the end. They all started playing better towards the end.
Maybe it'll be a different guy if he's healthy. Look, he's part of this team this year. There's no question about it. And I think there was some confusion yesterday. I saw some, you know, discussions on social media. I happened to hop on Twitter in the middle of the afternoon. I saw that this was going down.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you know, does this mean, you know, did we just commit to Foley Fatukasi for the long term here? Because, you know, you're pushing money into the future. But if you look at it, they basically added dummy years at the end of the deal, right? They turned some of his base salary into a bonus, and they chopped that bonus up over those years. But if you look, the bottom line, he's scheduled to count, what is it? Something like $12 million against the cap next year, whatever the number is.
Right.
Okay, if you designate him next year as a post June 1 release, right? If you wanted to move on from him, whatever his cap number is, you'd save about $8 million next year. Now you're pushing another $5 million or so into the following year.
Okay,
so you might have next year might be a different story. The cap might rise $50 million next year.
Right.
You might be trying to get Trevor Lawrence's deal done next offseason.
Right.
You don't have to. Yeah. I mean, like, a lot of people think the earlier you do it, the better. He's going to get $1 bajillion no matter when you do it,
right?
So that, to me, is more a matter of keeping Trevor in a good headspace. Like, you know you're our guy.
Yeah.
You know we're going to make you insanely wealthy like you've never been. The question is it all happening right now?
Yeah.
Is it happening a year from now? Because even if you give him that extension, are you ripping up the final years of his rookie deal? Are you tacking him on to the end? Whatever the case may be. So we don't know, what their approach is going to be to needing that cap space
right.
next year. So you got that option. Like, if you wanted to take the hit, you could release him next year, take a bigger cap yep. hit. But if you wanted to move on, you could do that as well.
I tell you what, the minute you start to try to figure this cap thing out, it's the minute you
it can be tricky. You just got
to
take a breath and see.
But think about this, just from an overview, right? We started off at what? We're 33, 37 million over the cap. Now we're like 10 million under.
Roughly,
the cap.
Right. You know exactly.
Like,
yeah.
And how does it, you know how it happens, but it's just like, wow. It's,
yeah, if you pay attention, I mean, there's always a way to get under the cap. Everyone does it, right?
No, right, right.
We've yet to see the team that has failed to get on the right side of the cap by the start of the league year.
What is the punishment? What, that, what happens when they go
you probably
over?
Ultimately
lose a draft pick or
I would
something?
Think so, right? It would freeze your ability to do anything,
right?
Because you couldn't make a transaction.
Right.
I just don't think – I don't know. Like, you're right, because you have to get the paperwork in. All right, what if I don't send it? What if I don't send it and I'm $2 million over the cap?
Right.
What is the punishment?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think draft pick.
Yeah, you'd think there had to be something.
Like
that's
some kind
big.
Of late round
pick. We have the cap pick. For a reason. You got to be under the cap.
And then after a certain period of time passed, I'd take another pick away from you. You know what I mean?
Right?
All right. Yeah. That's the thing.
It's kind of like when you don't make weight in fights, right? They take money
but
away from
the thing with the, you can't just go, all right, chop off those 5 pounds. You know, you got to put in the sweat equity to do that.
Yeah.
With the cap, there's always an out. There's always a mathematical out. And any team, I mean, they're all, and I say any team worth their salt, every team. I mean, it's evident by the fact that nobody ever has this issue, right? That every team knows how to do it. Every team knows how to plan for it.
Yep.
It's just a reality that you got to kind of deal with.
Hey,
so.
Listen, if you like math, it's fun.
You know, and occasionally the Jags or any team find themselves in a position like they did this offseason where you just can't spend willy-nilly.
Right.
Even though, all right, we're 37 million, we know we're going to get under.
Right.
That doesn't mean we're going to get under to the point where, hey, Javon Hargrave, come on down.
No, right.
You know,
right. And keep our guys and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
You know,
as we saw, that didn't come to pass this offseason.
Yeah.
The mayor was in town yesterday, so we'll discuss that. Of course, the mayor of Saxonville, Mr. Calais Campbell. Our Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day, Tom, with the draft 5 weeks away. As of today, which position do you think the Jacksonville Jaguars are most likely to fill in the first round of this year's draft?
Okay.
And I listed them alphabetically, cornerback, and you can include like Brian Branch in that group.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, nickel, corner, whatever.
Exactly. If you think the guy's a candidate to play nickel, edge rusher, offensive tackle, and tight end. And surprisingly, considering Evan Ingram's only right now on the one-year franchise tender, only 3.7% think it's a tight end at that position. But anyway, you can vote today on that poll if you'd like, at MD_1010XL. Hit us up at Meathead55 and at IME to the T.
Come on, somebody.
Jacksonville's favorite co-host, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
E to the T. You can send him musical requests.
You can.
You can send him content requests.
You can.
You can send him guest requests.
You can.
If you want to, you can ask just his opinion on anything involving the world of sports, and he'll tell you all about it. So
you can.
All those things can be done right here. You can hit us up at 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Fat Tony filling in on XL Primetime. So you get 3 hours of Tony coming up at noon today.
All right.
You got me, Tommy Mack, and E.T. This is like
Friday.
Rumble Plus, I think we call it.
That's right.
You got
E.T.'s
the Plus, but
Rumble,
the Rumble is here, and we're
good
back and ready to roll. Let's talk about the mayor coming up next. Calais Campbell, beloved by the fan base, was in town visiting with the Jags yesterday. What is the likelihood that he could rejoin this squad? We'll discuss that coming up and more with Tom McManus and E.T. I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're Mackin' with Tom McManus, brought to you by Renewal by Andersen, a better way to a better window on 1010XL.
All right, here we go. Jaguars today on this Friday. Fun week. A couple of your former teammates, Tommy, stopping by in the last couple of days. Kyle Brady and Fred Taylor. All those interviews available on demand at 1010XL.com.
Yeah.
Boy. I know you're a Coughlin guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you played for him, and you meant a lot to your career and life and all that. Kyle Brady's a Coughlin guy now. You know, like, yep. I mean, he really is a Tom Coughlin guy. You two are the two guys that I'll count on seeing at a Tom Coughlin charity event.
Oh, yeah.
If it's in town every single year. Without plenty of other guys as well. But
of course.
Never missing one. You and Brady are the two most staunch supporters, I find.
Well, just, you know, look, mine goes, you know, pretty deep, you know, from Boston College and, you know, with the Jay Fun and Jay McGillis. But even just, man, he was a great influence. To me, look, and I was raised in that kind of environment. You know, you got yelled at when you didn't do well or you didn't try your best. You know, that kind of thing. I can remember my father, he'd get all over our ass if, you know, you weren't like, you know, tough rebounding or blocking tough. You know, I don't care how many touchdowns you scored. How physical were you? You know, how much effort did you give? That kind of thing. And Coughlin was just, he was very same way, you know. And he had different, you know, ways. You know, it's great. One thing about Coach, I don't know if I ever told you this, but during the pandemic, I'd lost a ton of weight. And I was doing it by running. I was outside all the time. You know, my doctor friend said, just get in the heat, make sure you're outside, sweat,
yeah.
You know, get out there, whatever. So I'm running up, I take this jaunt up, goes past Coughlin's house, and he's outside working out. Anyway, I stop.
Like, what do you mean? I'm picturing he's in the yard with, like, dumbbells, like it's at Muscle
driveway.
Beach or
it's in
something.
His driveway.
Okay.
On First, which is right, you know, he lives up on the beach, so he's in his driveway. He's got his floppy hat on, his long sleeve shirt on, and he's doing his
like
dumbbells.
Bench dumbbells.
Dumbbells, okay. Standing like, I don't know, he was doing like overhead press. And I come run up. He's like, hey, Tom. I go, oh, hey, Coach, how you doing? He's like, man, you been? I said, yeah, I've been running. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we started talking.
Trying to make a comeback,
no,
Coach.
No, heck no, definitely not. I was trying my abs by 50, you know, trying to get abs by 50.
Gotcha.
And I didn't get there, but I tried my best. Anyway, so he you know, he starts talking to me about, he's like, and he says to me, he's like, you know, I had to be hard on you guys. He's like, Boston College and here. He's
you just
like,
say that out of the blue?
Well, he kind of vented a little bit. I'm not going to get into just the way things ended the second time around.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
just kind of talked and, you know, different things, you know.
Kids these days.
No, well, he did say, he goes, what did he say? He's like, but there were seven, nine guys in jail the morning of the game over in London. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, not do anything? He's like, they, you know, whatever.
Right,
whatever they want.
Right.
Anyway, so he says to me, and he's just like, you know, I had to be tough on you guys. It was the only way to start. Like, BC, we had to change it. And he's almost like, he wasn't apologizing or confessing. I was like, Coach, I liked it. You were always honest. You were always fair. You never played any kind of BS games like some coaches do. You know, you treated everybody the same. You know, I look, and you were, you know, what people didn't report about Coughlin is when you did well, he quietly would give you adulation. He'd give game balls and he'd do all that in front of the team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he'd walk up to you, like even at like on a practice day, you could have had a good practice. He'd be like, hey, it was a good practice.
Probably meant a lot to you.
Keep it up. And it meant a lot because he was being, you know, and it wasn't.
It wasn't just giving out the compliments left and right.
No,
so
you had to earn
them. Something from Tom.
So if you earned it, right,
yeah.
He gave them to you. And then you're like, yeah, you can yell at me all you want when I screw up. No problem. And that was and then you add everything else in. So, yeah, I'll always, look, I love the guy. He's been a big influence in my life. And I tell you what, he taught me two things. One, your mind is a very powerful weapon. If your mind says it's over, you're too tired, you can't go, your body's going to follow, right? So it's tougher than you think. And number two, leaving a great impact behind, because what he's done with the J Fund is
awesome.
Absolutely incredible.
Phenomenal.
So, anyway,
hey,
sorry about the rant.
No, love that kind of stuff. That's why we talk to guys from your era, you know, to connect the eras of Jaguar football. You talked many times about seeing Fred Taylor for the first time on the practice field. What about Kyle Brady? Kyle Brady's not a small man, right? I mean,
no.
That dude is a physical specimen.
Let me tell you something. So he came in after the 98 season.
Right.
First of all, we had to play the Jets in the divisional playoff game in 98. Well, guess who they had lined up as fullback leading Curtis Martin through the hole? Kyle Brady. And me and Boyer and Schwartz were like, what? You got to be kidding me. He's massive.
He is massive.
Anyway, so he comes to our team. We're in the offseason, and we're done working out. We had a workout or whatever, and he's in his locker was near where you walk to go to, like, the training room and the weight room and whatnot. And I'm walking past, and he's sitting there in his cubicle, if you will, like in his shorts and towel, and he doesn't have his shirt on. And I'm walking up to him, and he's giant. Like, he's 6'6", 280, and he doesn't have an ounce of fat. I mean, he must have had like 9-8% body fat. And I'm just like, damn, Kyle, like, what is
you're
that?
Young.
Like, what is this? What is this, genetics? He's like, yeah. He's like, you know what's crazy? I could be 320 in about in 2-3 weeks if I
could have been an offensive tackle. I mean, could have been probably a
great frame. And he's like, and I'd still be pretty ripped. He just tremendous genetics.
You're right. He was listed at 6'6", 278. So you nailed it. I mean, right on. That is a tight end.
Yeah, I know. And funny guy, good guy, and he's cool. I saw him like you did at the. At the wine taste. I ain't seen him in a while.
Yeah, so. He is a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Honestly, we've had so much success. Well, all these guys coming in here from that 90s era, they're all, I mean, you know, it's not like we talked to 53 players, right. You know what I mean? But for the most part, it seemed like there were a lot of quality people as much as there were quality players.
I think in Del Rio's era, there was a lot of that, too. You know what I mean? I thought it's
probably the case generally. You know, a handful of bad apples
you think
draw the attention.
You think of those players, man. Jeez. I often go back to
which Del Rio
Stroud
era?
And Henderson and Peterson and Darius was still playing and Spicer. And gosh dang, they were so tough. And they had the
huge
attitude.
Physical.
Reggie Hayward, never had him for a couple years until he got hurt. And they had
I'm convinced.
Swag. Rasheen.
Do you remember the game Hayward came in and just ragdolled the
Peyton?
Jags offensive line?
When he was with the Broncos?
Yes. And it was like the next offseason when they signed him,
okay.
I believe.
It was unbelievable.
Like, you know, he like one of those guys that you see it in person, you're like, holy.
Yeah.
Crap.
I know.
You know, and the numbers aren't necessarily, they are what they are, but you're like, wow, if you watch it, that guy physically dominated.
The one thing that always stood out about Reggie Hayward is when they played the Colts, he could get to Peyton Manning by himself. And he would get to Peyton. He'd get a couple sacks or hit him a bunch. He did. I said that to him once when I interviewed him a long time ago with the horse's mouth. No, it wasn't just me. I'm of course not. But you know what? I was like, wow, they don't even have to blitz. He's hitting Manning.
That's a luxury.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Totally. So they had the swag, and that offensive line was really tough. Naoli and Meester.
Weak effort.
And
ET.
Manuai. Right? You had Pashos. You had, who was the left tackle back then? Mike Peterson and who else?
You stay in your area. You're coming in here to retrieve your ammo.
Hey, listen,
you're gonna get
man,
from
don't
me.
Knock over my water.
Now, you do what you got to do, all right? I'm not worried about your aim and accuracy. Nerf wars continue. It was Denver came to Jacksonville in the second week of 2004.
Okay.
My man. And Reggie Hayward had 4 tackles, 2 for loss, including a sack.
Yep.
And I just remember just the impression he left was like,
yep.
Damn, this guy's just ragdolling offensive linemen and just physically. I mean, that's one of those. You look at the box score, you're like, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good game with a sack. But it was much more impressive.
Yeah, no.
You know? And I think that stuck in the Jaguars' brasses.
Yeah.
Mind.
I mean, think about that. You had Reggie Hayward, Stroud, Henderson, Spicer. That was your front four.
Right.
That was bad to the bone. And then your linebacker had Aiken, who was a good player.
Oh, yeah.
And Mopee, he was real good.
Aiken
Mike
Adele.
Peterson.
Yeah. You remember who Aiken used to run with? You remember Aiken's running buddy? TJ Slaw.
Oh, yeah. TJ.
Those guys
the stripper.
Those guys were joined at the hip.
TJ was stripping in college.
Was he?
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, he had some private. Maybe I shouldn't say that publicly.
This is the first time hearing of this.
We'll talk off the air. No, I think he would tell. Yeah, he was at Mississippi, right? He came from Mississippi State, University of Mississippi.
I'll take your word
for it. No. He came from, where did TJ go? He was a badass player. What a great name for a middle linebacker.
He told me about it.
I knew TJ. He was good people, man.
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss. That's right. That's right. So, he it's sororities and stuff like that. He was in great shape. That dude took his shirt off. Like, when he goes to the beach, he takes his shirt off and all the ladies swoon.
When you type in his name on Google, I can believe the stories that you're saying
about TJ Slaughter.
Yeah,
he's got the craziest
like a model.
Eyes, doesn't he? He really
does.
He has like green eyes or something. Like, he and Aiken. Yeah, Aiken Adele I used to live vicariously through Aiken. Yeah. He'd tell me stories of the various
I can only imagine.
Spots they hit up in South Beach and things like that.
Everywhere.
Yes. All right, so we didn't get to the mayor here, but I always like taking a quick walk down memory lane.
Yeah,
we got some of your teammates on this week, so we will do that next. Let's focus on Calais Campbell. And if you've got thoughts on, you know, what the Jags should offer him, what the pitch is to him, whatever the case may be, obviously there's some interest as he came to Jacksonville to visit with the team yesterday, although Mike DeRocco, and this is a tweet from the 1010XL account yesterday, according to DeRock, a source tells him that Calais' visit went really well, but no contract offer, ..
Okay.
So
cool.
We could hope, but... Yeah. You know, maybe he wants to find out what the market has to bear out there. But, you know, you're a couple weeks into free agency.
Yeah, and he went to Atlanta already.
He was, the way I kept reading the stories, it kept saying, well, he was scheduled to go to Atlanta this week. And I don't think anyone has confirmed
that. Oh, okay, I read it wrong.
Like, the way I read it yesterday, it seemed up in the air whether he had made that visit. But, like I told you, he tweeted out, I want to play in the Super Bowl. And who wouldn't? Right. And Atlanta does not seem like a path to get there for Super Bowl 58.
No.
And not that Jacksonville's the favorite.
No,
but
they're in the hunt.
Right, and you know how much you would be beloved coming back to this city and organization.
Listen, I believe him when he says he's got some left in the tank. I believe him.
I hope so.
Well, he said that publicly.
Plenty of vets have, shown that.
Yeah.
You know, if you manage their reps, and he would bring – rare is it where I care about the impact beyond the field, because I feel like coaches coach, players play for the most part, but I feel like Calais as a mentor slash just an example for, you know, not only for what he can do on the field but off the field, just what a great piece in your locker room.
Yeah, but he's got
to
be
at
a high. Yeah, he's got at a high level.
To be able to play.
He's still got to be. And whether you can use him for 20 snaps for all I care. You know what I mean?
Sure.
As long as they're high, level playing
but
snaps and making a difference.
You can't tell me there wouldn't be some benefit for Trayvon Walker to be around Calais Campbell.
Absolutely.
Just picking up, whatever, kind of things from him.
Now, and I don't know Trayvon anybody, if you guys know him, I don't know any of the guys that well, but I remember last time Calais was there was a group, the Ramsey, right?
They didn't respect what he was saying, right? I don't think that's this locker room. I really don't. Yeah.
I'm not saying it is either.
It went beyond not
that.
Respecting what he had to say.
Yeah.
Outright disrespect of Calais Campbell in that locker room by a little clique that felt he was a company man and, was more about the team than he needed to be looking out for number one, or maybe didn't like the fact that by him focusing on that, it made them look selfish for looking out for number one, whatever.
Right.
But there was definitely some of that. But those guys are gone.
No, I know. I'm just saying that less. That can happen. But if he's making plays, I agree with you. In this locker room, it'll be a great fit.
All right. We'll talk about it more in depth when we return in a moment with Tom McManus and ET. I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tom McManus. Brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. A better way to a better window on 1010XL.
All right, Jaguars Today rolling along on this Friday. Tommy Mack is in. ET has been here all week. Shining. Starring, many would say. And I'm Mike Dempsey. Fat Tony, you'll catch him coming up on XL Primetime with Matt Hayes and Big Cerse at noon today as we roll along on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And ears perked up. People got all excited with Calais Campbell in town yesterday visiting with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's be, honest about his impact the last few years in the National Football League. He had a really solid year this past year.
Yeah. Right?
5.5 sacks.
Yeah.
You're like, it's not the greatest.
Yeah,
take that. Arden Key built this city, and he had 4.5. So, Calais runs this city as the mayor, but Arden did build it. So, if you came in and gave 5.5 sacks, I almost feel like that's gravy. Like, if Calais was like a 4-sack guy and just gave you solid run defense,
good
which you know he's going to do, and give you beyond phenomenal – in every intangible aspect on this football team, Tom. He's got to realize, though, if he's coming here, they can't break the bank on him.
No, right. I know they let him go. He was making 15 a year back then when they said, no, we're not going to pay him that. I think that where that's what he signed for, maybe. I can't remember what it was. But, yeah, you know, look, you know, it's all going to come down to that. You know, what's the value? And what do you expect out of him? I'll tell you this. When you line up in base or even nickel and you're next to Calais Campbell as the outside rusher, you're going to have more opportunities to go one-on-one. There's no question about that.
Calais got a four-year $60 million deal
15,
to sign here, roughly. 15 a year. Yep. And he played here for the first 3 years of that, yeah, and made the Pro Bowl every season.
Right.
And one of the best free agent signings they've had. Now, you know, some forget, like, Jimmy Smith's free agent,
no, right,
guys like that.
Sure.
But in terms of, like, an established player,
no doubt,
that the Jags went out and signed.
And delivered.
And came in and it was almost the defensive player of the year.
Yep.
And then you think back to, you had A.J. Boye coming in that class.
Right.
And A.J. Boye statistically was the best cornerback in football,
yeah,
that year.
Right.
Right? He
was,
I think, second team All-Pro.
Yep.
Jalen was first team All-Pro.
Yep.
You know, still had Telvin Smith running around on that defense.
Yeah, no doubt. He was great,
you
too.
You know, plus the youth of Ramsey and Ngakoue and Jack. And,
yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
How many Super Bowls are we going to win with this
team,
right?
Gosh, dang.
And then he went to Baltimore, and he made the Pro Bowl his first year in Baltimore. You know, he didn't make a Pro Bowl, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until his seventh year in the league.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, you played 3-4 end.
Right.
You're not going to get those huge sack totals.
Yeah, right.
You know, and then he finally, and you think about it, he played 3-4 end throughout his rookie year where he didn't start a game. Okay. Went into the starting lineup in his second year. 7 sacks, mm-hmm, 6 sacks, 8 sacks, 6.5 sacks, 9 sacks as a 3-4 Andy.
Yeah, he's
I mean, that's crazy numbers right there.
But his first double sack season is when he came to the Jags. I'm pretty
correct.
Sure. Uh-huh.
He had 3 more in Arizona. Finally, he had 7 in 2014, a number he had topped several times, and he finally made the Pro Bowl. It's like, all right, we got to get this guy in the Pro Bowl. You know, like,
right,
this guy has been so good for so long. So then he made it in 15, where he had only 5 sacks, and then he had 8 the year he was heading into free agency and came here and got 14.5,
yeah,
10.5,
yeah,
in the first 2 years.
Yeah, major, major impact. Made that whole defense better. Made Josh Allen's life a lot easier, and I think he'd do the same today. I think his presence on that defensive line, he's still big, he's still massive, he's still quick enough. If he's healthy, which I think he is, and he's got the fire, which he says he does. He made that public, you know, statement like, hey, I don't think he called it juice. I'll call it juice. But he's like, I got some juice left, man.
Right.
He doesn't come off as a guy that would say it if he didn't have it.
No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. So, hey, if they can work out the money and on all that and – it's a great value for everybody, then let's go.
Let this put this in perspective for you, all right? Calais had 14.5 and 10.5. That's 25 sacks,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
in a 2-year period. Only 7 other players have 25 in Jaguar history.
Whoa.
Collectively.
Whoa.
For their career. I mean, that's,
yeah,
kind of crazy,
yeah,
right? Josh Allen is 27.5.
Okay.
Right, for instance.
Wow.
Spice and Kevin Hardy have 28.5 each.
Okay.
Played a long time. Henderson at 29. Calais himself has 31.5 total with Jacksonville in 3 years.
Wait, John had 29 sacks?
29 sacks.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Wow.
29 sacks and 39 pass breakups because he's 8 feet tall, swatting it back in
oh
your face every
gosh,
other game, man.
It would have been so much fun playing behind Stroud and Henderson.
Oh,
Mike, we were really big on, like, Tony Dungy, like, bringing Tony Dungy in here, not to coach, but kind of to run the team, like, put a structure for this team.
Yes.
And that's kind of, like, a role I would want Calais, but more of a player. So, because we want you to have an impact on the field, but we know that this is already a really good locker room. And you bring a guy like that, he can have an impact on everybody, especially Trevon and, of course, our quarterback. So you bring in a guy like Calais Campbell to truly teach you and show you how to be a professional on and off the field, I think it would be a big deal for us.
I think it would too, but I think Tom's right to a degree. It depends on how you do that, right? You can't be a guy who's playing 15 snaps a game who ends up with two sacks at the end of the year getting in people's faces.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you're getting blocked.
Or you tell me.
You're not making plays.
Right.
And your teammates
if it's clear.
It.
But I don't think the game's passed him by. Right?
No, I don't either.
I mean, we're looking at Arden Key wrecking havoc last year and creating. And he did. And all kidding aside, he did create opportunities,
Some.
And he was a good cultural fit.
Yeah.
And all those things were true.
Yep.
He just took it a few steps beyond. But Calais had 5.5 last year.
Right.
And I would bet he played fewer snaps than Arden Key did. That'd be my guess. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to look up the snap count.
Yeah, and against the run, he's really good too, man. It'll surprise you with
his
quickness.
Let me just finish this list real quick.
Definitely.
The three guys ahead of Calais all time.
Okay.
You know who they are in sacks? Who's number one?
Brackens.
Easy. 55. Nobody close to
him.
Right?
Okay.
Jan is second. Unique Ngakoue, 37.5.
Okay.
And your boy Schmengi.
Yeah, Schmengi.
At 34. So it's not an illustrious group, really.
No.
I mean, 55 is a nice total.
Yeah.
But, you know, I heard Dan and E going through some of the all-time sack leaders this morning. Like, John Abraham's got like 130-something.
He's up there.
130.
Wow. I didn't know that. Wow.
You know?
Well, Brack had that, remember the microfracture surgery?
And back then, it wasn't.
I don't even think they do it anymore, do they?
It was almost like a death sentence in terms of your career.
No,
right?
I know.
Like,
he was never the same player.
I understand they drilled tiny little holes
in
your, like, your kneecap.
Or some.
It regenerates growth through those holes or something.
I think Hardy had it too. I think they both had it.
And they try to regenerate like almost like a new layer of cushion in there, I think.
I don't even know if they do it anymore.
I mean, look, Tom, you know, in my lifetime, I mean, look, Tommy John surgery was invented in my life, right? Like there was no such thing. And then Tommy John, who's a left-handed pitcher, and probably a lot of kids don't even know you know, where that comes from. He had his arm reconstructed.
7 years for Breck?
Seven.
So that's about eight.
Yep, eight for Tony. And he played 15 games in his final year,
but he
didn't make it to 30. His final season, he was 29 years old. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, a lot still left out there for him. But he came in 7-7, 3.5, 12 sacks, 7.5, 11 sacks, and then missed most of 2002 with injury and ended it with a six-sack season.
Yeah.
So
I remember him coming in. They would always say that Tony was like one of the only guys to ever sack Cordell Stewart while he was at Colorado or something like that. Like Tony was known for sacking Cordell. He's like one of the few. But if he stays
healthy,
who knows?
Hell on wheels back in college, man.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, the guy could move like Cordell Stewart in today's NFL. Like they carved a role out for him.
I played against him. Slash, right?
Slash, because he was quarterback, slash wide receiver, slash whatever.
He was good.
But they made a role for him.
Yeah.
Even though it was not an era that, you know, like you look at now, like Debo Samuel, all right, go play running back or whatever. And all these quarterbacks now that are just encouraged to lean into their athleticism.
Absolutely.
Cordell a little bit ahead of his time.
And you'll be surprised by this. So I went ahead and I looked it up for you as far as the snap counts for last year. And this is per the footballguys.com. Calais Campbell played 585 snaps last season.
Wow. Seems like a lot.
Uh-huh.
It does.
Arden Key, 541.
Oh, so pretty close then.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so their sack figures one off. All right. That's fairly close.
Yeah.
I would have thought that Arden Key maybe at least in the six, like at least more than Calais. But
I would have thought he would have as well, just simply because of the age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously Calais played a good bit. I mean, he was at least as durable as Arden Key was last year.
And look, there's a difference, right? Arden Key comes off the bench on passing downs, and Calais may come off the field on passing
downs. That's a good point.
You know what I mean? And it depends what you need. That's why I say, like, if we're going to replace Arden Key, what are we replacing? He came off the bench, and he rushed from an inside position most of the time, which is fine. He obviously had some impact, you know, but is that what we're replacing? Or are you thinking – is Walker going down? Is Walker staying up?
That's the big question,
you know what
right?
I mean? So I don't know.
Tom, we've been talking about Tony and I a lot lately. There are two questions that we don't know the answer to that are going to impact what their approach is for the rest of this offseason with pass rush. A, what's Josh Allen's long-term future? Like, do they, in the back of their mind, are they counting on, we want to work it out. We think it'll get worked out. He's a piece we're going to have. Yeah. Or is that up in the air, right, in their opinion? And what you were just talking about, how you're going to use Trayvon Walker.
Right.
Are you going to stick with him as a primary outside linebacker over everything and still occasionally move him around? And if you're thinking that, yeah, we need to find him more snaps as a down lineman in the 3-4, rushing from the inside on third down, then there may be room to, you know, get that pass rusher in round one.
Right. So that's what I'm – so when with Calais, it's more of a complete run pass. I can
with Calais, he's not going to be your outside linebacker, obviously. He's going to be your 3-4 end.
He can't line up over the guard on run downs and handle the run. He's just not big enough to be able to do that.
Correct. Calais is a different kind of player. He doesn't play. Right. I'm not looking at it like he's replacing Arden Key's position. I'm just looking at it like he's a guy that is versatile.
Yeah.
Particularly for a scheme that wants to kind of move between 3-4 and 4-3 at times. He can play a lot of spots in both of those defenses, and he would add a little pass rush to you. I wonder how many third downs he played, right?
Depends like who develops.
And so that 5.5 sacks, if you're playing early downs only, is more impressive than a guy getting 4.5 on obvious pass rush situations.
And I don't know the Ravens rush, you know what I mean, who's their lineup when they go to third down or long, you know, second and long passing downs, what have you. So, you know, then we got to figure out ours too. You know, like right now, who's our four guys? You know, if they go – you know, it's nickel, and you got four down linemen. Who are they? You know, who's going to be our rushers, right? We know two, we think. Well, at least Josh, that's one. Who are the other three?
Don't know.
Because
Smoots, you know, are you going to bring him back? And even if you do, you're coming off a torn Achilles, you know, what kind of circumstance? Let me ask you this, point blank. Calais visits yesterday, leaves without a contract offer. Is that a sign that they're too far apart that this – you know, like, how do you see this thing playing out?
I'm thinking if he doesn't say, if they offered him a deal, that if there's not an answer.
Well, according to D-Rock, no offer forthcoming yet. So,
I mean, normally they don't let you leave, you know, if they
really
want
you. Right, if you're a priority.
Right, but they could also say, hey, look, why don't you – you know,
if this is what you're looking for, go see if you can find it.
Maybe you can go get something out, you know. Or maybe, I don't know, you just never know. You never know what the negotiations are and what's or if there's even been an offer. We don't know.
My big hope is that the way, you know, how he tweeted about the opportunity to play in a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
The fact that he's played a lot of years in the NFL. My man has made a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, good deal here. 4 years, $60 million. He made a lot of that.
Right.
He earned a lot of that.
Absolutely.
He should be fine money wise. Everyone always wants to get paid what they can get. Yeah. I understand that. But my hope is that the only let's hear more about Atlanta showing interest. Let's hear from teams that don't have a clear path to make a Super Bowl run this year. You know, if you start getting into a handful of contenders taking a look at him, then I think the odds drop significantly.
Look, Atlanta, no disrespect, but he's probably got to play more snaps in Atlanta than he would down
Depends
here.
On what is – right, I mean, but what is your major motivation right now if you're Calais Campbell? Is it playing the most snaps possible,
no,
or is it positioning yourself to make a run?
Plus. I mean, that's no – you know.
Right.
That's – you know, but what did – so Arden Key, what, 41% of snaps? Is that what I thought was reported out there?
He was on the field
41% of the snaps?
I don't know what the snaps?
Percent
was.
So maybe – that sound
already,
about right?
I already closed it out.
That's all right. I thought I saw that earlier in the week that it's 41%. Maybe even Hacker said that. He was kind of, you know, everyone about saving
that to the bank.
Take it right to the bank, that's for sure. But, you know, if that's about, you know, that's coming off the bench. So maybe that was his role with Baltimore.
Where'd you find that, E? Was that a Pro Football Reference or somewhere else?
Football Guys.
All right.
I'm emailing it to you right now.
We'll discuss
so less
on the other
than
side.
Half, right?
I
guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that's.
That's okay, though.
And
I think that's a big part of Arden
Key's thing, too, is the opportunity, I think, going to Tennessee where he's going to probably play more.
I agree.
You know, more of a full-time guy. And you just likely, unless you really were planning on moving Trayvon Walker kind of on a full-time basis, you didn't have the right. ability to offer him that here.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
All right, let's take a time out here. We'll come back. We'll dig in a little deeper on that on the other side. Today's Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day, asking you, as of today, which position do you think the Jags are most likely to fill in the first round of this year's draft? Is it cornerback, edge rusher, offensive tackle, or tight end? You can cast your vote if you haven't already on Twitter, at MD_1010XL. Also check in on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. When we return, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
McManus.
Brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, a better way to a better window on 1010XL.
I don't know if he even flinched. He probably doesn't even realize just that one came in. Too. Just right over the top of your head there, man.
I didn't even see it.
You're paying attention to work.
You can't hear it with the headphones. Stuff.
Right, he's got the headphones right. on. It bounced off the door and rolled like under your desk. Came back under your desk somewhere. So.
Oh, snap.
Yeah,
it's broken
right
eye out.
It's right there for you. At least it wasn't an olive.
That's right.
Did you say that on air? Was
no,
that
off? Oh, okay. It was off.
So one of McManus's buddies had someone tossed an olive, just messing with him.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize it and caught him right in the eyeball.
Yeah. That would hurt.
Yeah, that would.
You gotta be careful, man.
Trying to think. I've never really been hit in the eye with actually a baseball once. Mm. Oh, it was bad.
Ooh,
too. It
right
was bad.
In the eye.
We're playing. I was 11 years old. Right? I was in Little League, and this was a Saturday, and. Yeah. We all just biked up to the high school, and they had, like, big grass fields out there. Now my high school is like an armed encampment. It's like, you know, fenced in, got mobile police stations, all this stuff.
Yep.
Back then, we just used to – we needed a field. Let's go to the high school and play something, right? And so we're playing, and we lay out a little diamond and the whole thing. And the kid playing third base, I remember, was 13 years old because he was, like, in Babe Ruth League or whatever.
Yeah.
And – the kid at first base was probably about 10, and he couldn't handle that fastball coming over there, so I hit a ground ball to third, and at the last minute, I took a peek to see if I was going to beat it. Kid missed the ball, whap, right in the eye, man.
Oh.
I mean, like, it was like cut me, Mick. It was full-blown Rocky eye is what I had back
in the
day.
Black eyes back in the day, they just seemed to happen a lot, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you were
this
physical.
One was like purple, like this is one of those ones that like
– right.
Dude got knocked out cold in some video. Like, that was me.
Right.
Boing. Right off my feet. Took me right off my feet.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this kid threw a sizzler, you know.
A sizzler? I haven't heard that.
It threw a pea over there.
A pea, yeah. There you go. Yeah,
right? Man, threw a pea, a seed.
That's right. You got a cannon.
And ball, the faster it goes, the more it shrinks, right?
Sizzler.
Right, blew my eye out. Yeah. E.T., by the way, do you need a subscription? Like, I have a subscription of Football Guys, but do you need one to get in to some of the stuff they've got going on here? I'm just curious. It doesn't look like you do.
I just
to get to the snap counts.
Yeah,
here.
I didn't need one to get right into this.
So I'm just it's a handy reference for people who are looking for snap counts. Kind of interesting. CJ Beathard played 27 snaps last year. Now this is playoffs included.
Yep.
Most of they came in. He played one snap in week three, like a kneel down. He played 19 in week 17 because we're getting to, you know, getting ready for the week, all important week 18. But so Trevor ended up playing 1,231 snaps on the year, which is almost all of them.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you look at the wide receivers for the Jags. Christian Kirk played 1,115, right? So just about 100 less, right? Most of them. Zay Jones played 1,061.
Whoa.
And Marvin Jones played 808. You got to figure Calvin Ridley is going to be right up there with Christian Kirk.
Right.
You know, in terms of, like, they're going to be your every down guy. So I would expect him to play even more than Zay played last year. So you got to wonder where, you know, Zay's number drops off to, maybe 700, 750, something like that.
I'd like to see them try to find a way to keep Jones Jr. You know, I know he won't get a lot
You've
of
talked
snaps,
about him a few times,
He makes catches when you need him.
He's clutch.
To. He is. And
who knows? Maybe.
I don't know.
Here's the thing.
What do you keep? Five or six? He's got to be tough.
Usually have six.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, I mean, you're only going to have a max of five on game day, if that, right?
Right.
And if you count Agnew as one of your six.
Right.
Right. That And he
right.
is. He
no,
does play.
Heck, yeah.
But you got Tim Jones and Kendrick Pryor on this roster right now. Ridley replacing Marvin Jones. So the question is, do you like Tim Jones or Kendrick Pryor enough? And Pryor spent really the entire season on the practice squad.
Right.
But he would be kind of your sixth guy, I guess, right now. The question, do you see enough in Tim Jones and or Kendrick Pryor to think they're going to develop into something?
Maybe.
And how much contribution do they make on special teams? Because that's something, too.
Big.
Marvin Jones not going to be contributing on special teams for you at this stage.
And you're right. The snap, you know, they'll go down from 800, I think.
Would he even be active on game day, though? Think about it. If you had Ridley, Kirk, Zay Jones, Agnew is active as your fourth, are you going to have a fifth receiver? I guess you could count him as your fourth because Agnew plays so much special teams. But I don't know if you'd have him active on game day, quite frankly. I mean, Tim Jones played 148 snaps on the whole year on offense.
Special? Oh, just offense.
I think this is, this is wide receiver snaps. So.
Yeah. I read where the new running back from the Browns,
Dearness Johnson,
unbelievable special teams play.
He plays plays them all, but you notice him most as a good kickoff return man.
Right.
Of course, we got Agnew, but
he
can add value there. I love that signing.
Yeah,
man, you know,
me too.
And let's
me
be
too.
Honest, it's the only one that's been announced so far out of those other two defensive linemen. I don't doubt the reporting that they're going to be here, but I wonder if some of this cap movement with Fatakasi is like, we don't want to skirt the edge of the salary cap too closely here.
Yeah, and Doug came out. He's like, look, if you're a backup running back, you got to play special teams.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the one thing about Connor. I wonder why he's going to get another crack at it, but he's got to do something on special teams.
I'd be shocked if he's on the active roster this year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not even out, I don't even think he was dressing last year, was he?
No.
I mean, Stu Connor gave him the ball a couple times.
I guess here, Travis Etienne played 759 snaps.
Okay.
Okay. How many did Snoop Connor play?
I'm going to say like 20.
39.
Okay.
Right. And
because Hasty probably had two something.
He had a couple of games where he had 10 and 11 snaps. Okay. That's not touches.
Snaps,
that's
right.
Snaps.
Yeah.
So.
What was Hasty, about 300?
Hasty was 266, and James Robinson was 214.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning of the year, right?
J. Rob.
Yeah. So it's not like. You know, it's really interesting, though. You look at it, and I guess if you added them all up, that's between the top three guys here. You're about in Trevor Lawrence range where you're at, right? Because he's playing basically every snap, and you're only going to have one of these guys out there.
I think total was about 1250.
1231.
Okay,
yep,
1231.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right, so right there in that ballpark.
Yep.
Evan Engram played 998 snaps on the year.
Okay.
It's interesting.
And
by the end of the season, he was playing almost every single down into the postseason, like every single down. But early on, he was more like a three-quarters guy.
He's a good blocker, too, when he needs to
He
be.
Was, actually,
feisty,
right?
I thought all the receivers. Zay Jones is a good blocker.
Zay Jones is an excellent blocker.
Yeah, they get after it.
I think Engram is a good blocker, but not, like, lined up next to the tackle. You know what I mean? Like in space.
But backers and safety, he could take them all day long.
And willing.
Willingness.
Big
time. It's like rebounding.
Huge part of it, right?
No, absolutely. You got to do it.
Yeah.
We need you to make that block that springs the run. I mean, that could be the block that we need.
You see that in scouting reports all the time. Not a great blocker, but willing.
But willing.
Right? And that's half the battle, right? Like if you're willing, like some guys don't like that. Contact, you know,
you could
finesse.
Be willing in a terrible blocker. So.
Well, you could be that, right?
So
but
you
I mean,
careful there.
I think unwilling is the way. At least,
you
can't do anything with unwilling.
You can't be afraid to mix it up. That's what it comes down to. You got to go mano a mano, and you got to slam into the guy, and you got to make sure he does not make the play. And
all
that
right.
does take a lot of attitude.
Let's see here. Let's see. What you got here on defense? Who played the most snaps on the team?
On the team?
Should be an easy one if you think
Trevor.
About it. No.
Oh, on the team?
No.
It's Fortner.
No.
Oh,
well,
let
me see. Let me look here. I don't know if they break down the offensive linemen on here. As a matter of fact, they don't. That's the one thing that you don't get on a fantasy football site is you don't get offensive linemen snaps. So outside of the offensive line. Who played the most snaps this year?
Aluakin.
Yeah. Foye, right?
Okay.
Never comes off the field.
No. He's so good.
Foye Aluakin played every defensive snap.
Yep.
Everyone. Didn't miss a single one.
Wow.
Played
That's
100%
awesome.
Of the snaps
and at a high
in every
level.
Game. last year, 1,283. Yeah. By the way, for all that, with Devin Lloyd, you know, losing his job, losing his place, played 1,031 snaps.
Wow.
Last year.
Okay.
Which
That's
was
almost all of them.
The second most of anybody in the front seven.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So that was more than Josh Allen played, you know. Chad Muma played 319. So it was clearly tilted in Devin Lloyd's favor. There's just a stretch of time where Muma seemed to be ascending.
Nice
player to have.
Oh, no, listen, Muma makes plays. I think with Lloyd and even Aluakin showed that he can blitz too. You know, he made some really impactful plays towards, you know, down that stretch, getting some good hits on the QB. You're not going to blitz him all the time as a middle backer, but that's a nice weapon to have that you can throw him in there. I think the same for Lloyd. I think if you let Lloyd do that a little bit, you'll find that he can be pretty productive. I think that's going to be interesting, how Devin Lloyd and Chad Muma progress in year two and how much they play and where they play and all that stuff. That's going to be an interesting storyline going into this year.
All that, whether it's them, obviously Trevor Lawrence himself, all these players, I mean, okay, we're happy D'Ernest Johnson's here, got these other two defensive linemen for depth. That's fantastic. We're going to bring in some rookies, but it's the internal improvement like you're talking about with these young guys. Devin Lloyd, Devin Lloyd gets back to where he was at the beginning of the year, he won Defensive Rookie of the Month for the first month in the league.
Yep.
If Trayvon Walker, let's be real, has an 8-sack season.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
If Josh Allen has an 11-sack season, right? And if Trevor Lawrence throws more than 35 touchdowns, which I think he's going to. I don't think he just can't. I think if the primary pieces around him stay healthy, and he does as well, I think he's having a massive year. It's not just what you're adding. It's how much better the pieces you already have are getting. Like, I don't know how much better Patrick Mahomes can get. He's great. He's fantastic. He's everything
one
you need.
Best. Yep.
But is he going to be better than MVP? You know what I mean?
Well, he'll still work on his craft. You know
sure he will.
So
sure
that
he will.
Remains to be seen. But, yeah, no, you make good points there. You know, and I think from year one to year two, just from experience, that's like night and day, man. I mean, you especially if you've played that many snaps. And Muma, too. But both Lloyd and Muma should have a lot of confidence going into year two. And you should see their development. You should see a nice – you know, bump in production. I think for Lloyd, it's all, hey, man, just know the playbook inside and out. Know exactly what you're doing. And it's up to Mike Caldwell to make sure all his players know exactly what they're doing. Missed assignments drive me crazy. I don't know how coaches deal with that. Like, come on, man, we've been over it and over and over it, and then you still don't take the guy, or you forget the coverage, or you don't do the right thing. That would send me through the roof. You know, that's just inexcusable. There's no excuse for missing an assignment, in my opinion. So I think for him, it's going to be just getting more confident, comfortable, because he's got all the – I mean, are you kidding me? That kid's 6'3", 235 or whatever. He can run to the ball. He's got length. He can play the game. He's shown that. So – I'm expecting him year two and movement as well to really, really improve.
All right. Quickly on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, Calais Campbell's at 99 career sacks. How sweet would it be for him to hit 100 in black and teal? Very. Yeah. Answer would be very sweet. Yes. We'll check in more. Plenty of stuff coming in on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. So we'll check there to see what is on your mind as a Jaguar fan. And don't forget to vote in our poll if you haven't already about which position the Jaguars are most likely to select a player from with their first pick in this year's NFL draft, now 5 weeks away. Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, and Emmanuel Thalaran. You know him as ET. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Tom McManus.
Brought to you by Renewal by Andersen, a better way to a better window on 1010XL.
All right, let's get a few in on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, Tom. Then we'll talk about the competition committee and some of the proposals and non-proposals that are being discussed and tabled in some cases for NFL rule changes. But this one, can we get a Jaguars Today grassroots movement to reclaim our final home game? I don't mind playing abroad, but we've certainly paid our dues long enough by sacrificing a precious home game. Roger Goodell, we've helped you establish your footprint in foggy London town. Pay us back. I don't think it has anything to do with Roger Goodell compelling the Jaguars at this point. Yeah. This is the Jaguars money. Wanting to do this.
It's money. They yes. make twice as much.
Twice as much.
Right.
So
it's not stopping. And the NFL wants games in London.
Correct.
They're Germany now.
I mean, the Jags, like, it's they've been approved to continue their series, you know, but they have to renew that. They have to request to the league, like, we want to do this. We want to keep going and being London's team. And I get from a fan's point of view, hey, we got Trevor now. It's going to get exciting. We could pack this place.
Yep.
But the bottom line is still the money they can make playing in Wembley Stadium one time eases the rest of the burden. And you can't, you know, never understood that. Well, you know, Shad Khan doesn't care. He just cares about money. And then he goes and pours hundreds of millions of dollars in guaranteed contracts out there. Right. And every opportunity he gets when he has cap space, if the team suggests using it, I don't think Shad's going, this is the year. We're going to back off this year. You know, this is the reality they find themselves in right now. He wants to spend. He wants to win.
And he look, there is an international appeal from the NFL, and look, he's been over there a long time going, you know, taking games over there. So I'm okay with it. I mean, look, do you want an extra home game? Sure.
Sure.
You know what? Win your division. You get an extra home game.
That's one way to look at it.
Not to say, like, I would, but I get it. It comes down to business, man. You can't tell a man how to run his business.
You can. You're allowed to say whatever you like.
Say
and
whatever
you can even
you
make
want.
A grassroots movement out
you
of it.
Could.
I just think, for me, it's like, you know, I don't know what the expression tilting at windmills. Like you're not going to affect anything here. You know.
Right.
All right. Depending on this from Bush Drive, Rich, one of our regulars, out there. Depending on what they do with Calais, I could see us going big with a physical big corner. Got to have somebody who has the measurements to go against the athletic tight ends that we have to face. Corners obviously on the Jaguars' radar. Somebody asked. Don't have it right in front of me right now. I don't know if it was on the text line. I think it was on the text line. And they said, Devon Witherspoon is the best corner in this. Here it is.
From Illinois?
Yes. Yep. Do we have any chance at Devon Witherspoon, who's the best DB in this draft? And I haven't heard his name mentioned one time on this station. Okay. I will go into my, you must not listen to the show every day. I mean, we talk about Devon Witherspoon. You know who else, but you know, we don't talk a lot about him. We also don't talk about Will Anderson that much Jalen Carter or any of the guys that are likely to be gone.
Right.
But we have talked, like, because occasionally you'll see a mock where Devon Witherspoon falls into the 20s.
Really?
You know, and occasionally.
You see top 10, though, too, haven't
absolutely.
You? Absolutely.
But, you know, you see that with a few other guys, like Brian Brzee of Clemson, the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I just saw him in a mock that came. It might have been Charles Davis's mock. Had him 10th to Philadelphia. You also see him going like 29th at times, you know. So
I haven't watched a ton of Clemson football. I know he's very gifted athletically. He's a big guy that can move. I just never saw his impact. But I don't watch.
I'm just
Clemson
used as
football.
An example of a guy though
no,
that gets
curious.
Mentioned in different ranges in the
I'm
first
curious
round.
Curious as to what's the appeal. That's all.
If I had to bet on Witherspoon though, I think it's like 95% that he's not going to be available with the 24th pick. So that's why we don't talk about him as much.
Right,
you know,
right.
Look at guys like Deontay Banks out of Maryland and Cam Smith out of South Carolina that more frequently. Now, look, the mock drafters can be wrong as well.
Of course.
But when you get a kind of a consensus on where guys land, you hope that the true NFL insiders are, you know, leaning on their NFL context to say, yeah, I know that, you know, the media likes this guy, but this is the guy you really got to keep an eye on. You know, you start to see some of that filter in. Here's another one. Always take linemen with the first pick, O-line or D-line.
Depends.
Right.
Depends who's there.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
I mean, look, it's not a bad philosophy.
No.
To go with big people.
I like building the lines. I mean, you got to win at the line.
If you went back into last year's draft, would you have taken a big person or would you take Sauce Gardner?
You know, I would have taken Sauce Gardner.
I'm taking Sauce, right? He's probably already considered a top five corner in the NFL.
Yeah, he's really he's talented.
You know,
yeah,
you wouldn't have Trayvon Walker, but you'd have
Still a project.
You'd have
Trayvon.
Sauce Gardner,
right.
Tyson Campbell,
right?
Woo.
Oh, that would be nice. Woo. Yeah, and you know, Trayvon's still
one more
a work in progress.
Woo.
I mean, so is Sauce, but Sauce is way ahead of the game, obviously. But we got to see more out of Trayvon.
All right.
You know,
look,
big time.
I hope we get it all, Adam.
I agree.
I'm just saying,
totally.
You know,
of course.
It's not a bad overall philosophy. Go with big guys, yeah. Right? But obviously, exceptions.
Well, first of all, what are we talking about here, too? Because the edge guys aren't very big. They're tall.
That's true.
But they're light.
That's true. There are a lot of those 240-pounders this year.
Kid out of Iowa State, McDonald, I think, getting a lot
Nolan
of love.
Smith and the Iowa State, Will McDonald, right? Yeah. He was mocked to the Jags. Did Prisco have him? Prisco had him in the first round. He didn't have him to the Jags, but Kuiper had him to the Jags
okay.
at 24.
Yeah, he's...
All right, let's bring up our man, Fan Cam. You know Fan Cam's going to check in with Tommy Mack on a Friday. Good morning, Cam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope everybody's doing well. I just thought I'd chime in with an old Kyle Brady story that you guys might not have heard before. I was doing one of the chili breakfasts early on. It was back when I'm just barely right outside where everybody walks into the practice fields. And the chili had been served. The practice was over, and the guys were coming back out to the locker room, and everybody's lined up for interview or for autographs. And I, you know, as occasionally I will do, had some brats and steak and stuff cooking on the side. So I come over with a plate of brats and steak and some ribs on there as the players are walking by. So, hey, you guys, bowl of chili, anybody? And I got some ribs and steak here if anybody's hungry. And nobody really looked at me except Kyle Brady reached over, grabbed a ribeye right off the plate, the whole steak, and just started mawing it on the way to the locker room. It was a great image, and I'll never forget it.
Very nice.
Probably had that done before he stepped foot inside.
Yeah. Hey, Fan, you know what a cut of meat I cooked last night?
What's that?
They called it the poor man's ribeye. It was called a chuck eye. And the guy at Publix told me where it come from. And by the way, it tasted phenomenal. Anyway.
How'd you cook it?
I just I marinated it, and then I cooked it on the grill, seared it nice and tight in the bottom, and then threw it up top and let it cook for about 20 minutes. It was beautiful.
That sounds great. And paired with an Irish car bomb, you're living large.
Exactly.
That was something, I'll tell you that.
Have a great weekend, you guys. Yeah, appreciate everything you do, man.
All right,
take
brother.
Care.
There right, he goes. John Port, the mayor of Ponte Vedra, right there.
Or
Jack's Beach. Yeah.
He's got one of the best
more accurate
places to go.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. It's so bring cool. it up all the time. He built a scale replica of the 17th Island hole in his front yard.
Yeah. And you
like
can
built
it.
To scale, and you could play it like it's unbelievable.
With wiffle balls.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I've been getting back out on the range, man.
Have you? Feeling good?
Yeah, it's coming along. It's getting better. Swing's getting better. I got to do something, man. I'm trying to shed the pounds.
Yeah.
Slowly this time.
Not stay active.
Not coming off as quickly as they
Movement's
have.
Key.
It is key.
You got to move. You got to keep it
moving.
Get
my hair cut today. That'll shave off a gram or two.
There you go. No.
And then I'll go get some sweat equity in
there
at the
go.
Range. E.T., why don't you come on down and hit some golf balls with me today, bud?
I do need to work on this swing, man.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I saw you at the Sawgrass, you know, on the replica 17th Island hole
yeah,
there.
You saw that?
Yeah. Didn't it look too shabby?
I made it on the green.
With the backswing, and then he does this thing where he drops his back foot.
I can't stop
He kind of kicks it back.
Ah,
you know,
like a baseball swing?
A bad baseball swing. I don't think you should be kicking your back foot like that, but it works for you.
That's right.
Right? And they don't ask how. They ask how many.
That's right.
That's a golf standard right there. So if you can get it in the hole, E, doing that pool cue style, you.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you're always welcome, my friend.
That's right.
All right. Let's come back, Tommy. I do want to get your thoughts on a couple of those competition committee proposals or non-proposals. And we'll take a look at today's question of the day as well. As to which position you think the Jags are most likely to focus on as of today with their first-round pick in April's NFL draft. With Tom McManus and E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. More Jaguars today straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tackle is the urgent need, I believe. Pretty sure that's going to be a need because they got to protect, you know, their franchise quarterback because he is the future of the organization. Got to pull the trigger and get what you need now.
You're Mackin' with Tom McManus, brought to you by Renewal by Andersen, a better way to a better window on 1010XL.
That, of course, the voice of Fred Taylor yesterday joined us on Jaguars Today. Always good to catch up with Freddie T, and he's having a ton of success with that Pivot podcast of his.
Yeah.
And, you know, I what he said, like, it's obvious, you got to get what you need, but he said now, like, window's open.
Yeah.
It's open. Don't be like, hey, we're a couple years away. No, we're here.
No, you're here.
We're here.
You've arrived.
Any given year now in the postseason. couple breaks go your way, play your best football.
Yep.
As long as you got an upright and high-functioning Trevor Lawrence, you got a chance.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, as we all know, it's not going to get any easier, right? Now the schedule will be harder. The target will be on their back. They're one of the top teams in the AFC. You can, you know, arguably say that with confidence. So now they got to do it.
This one on the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Disappointing part of a home game in London is win. I'm not sure what that was meant to say. We missed playing against the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles here in town when they played in London. What's going to happen when they announce, or if they announce, that the Cincinnati game or the Kansas City game this year is in London? Well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to, you might be upset.
Right.
Well, A, the Kansas City game won't be because KC is playing in Europe already.
Right.
They're a designated home team
okay.
for one of those games, so they're not going
to
make them
do
go
two.
Twice.
Right.
Could it be Cincinnati? Possible.
Yeah, it could.
I don't think it will. I hope it won't be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what'll happen? You can be mad about it, but what's going to happen? You're either going to go or not go or watch it or not watch it. I mean, what's going
to
happen?
It is what it is. I mean, look, they felt like they had to do it way back when, and now they like it.
Yeah.
And it makes them a lot of money. So
also for you, Tom, my brother is a butcher. Chuck eyes are phenomenal, almost better than a ribeye.
I tell you what, it was some delicious meat.
Take your word for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Without a doubt. I'm gay. And it's funny because I'm walking up and I know a couple, you know, I'm in Publix all the time. I like doing a shop. And it's funny, one of the produce guys is like, hey, can I ask you a question? Okay. He's like, do you like coming here? I was like, yeah, I actually do enjoy having my list, and I'm in my own world, and I'm enjoying going through the, you know, saying hello to people, whatnot, and getting what we need and all that stuff. But I'm coming up on the meat, and the three butchers are there, and they're talking shop, and I hear this say, that right there is the man's ribeye. And I was like, ooh, what?
I'm a poor man.
What are you talking about?
Let me get some of that
ribeye. And then the butcher's like, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, poor man, whatever.
Right.
Rich man,
it's
this
delicious.
Is better
right.
than
it's
ribeye.
Good.
And he told me where it's cut. He's like, the ribeye's right off the rib. It's right next to that. And it's really tender. I was like, oh.
Chuck Eye weekend at the Dempsey Hacienda.
There you go, man.
This week.
It was a lot less expensive, without question.
All right.
Like
love a ribeye.
Two-thirds almost.
Who doesn't love a ribeye?
Oh, it was yummy.
Love a ribeye. Love a New York strip. Love a porterhouse.
Yeah.
Love a filet.
I like meat.
Meat, cow meat, cooked cow meat, good.
I like ground beef.
Like that too.
Throw that
hamburger.
Oh,
delicious.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let me get to this because we're gonna run out of time.
Oh, geez.
Otherwise, very important. I'll read this to you straight off Pro Football Talk, okay? Because it's a good explanation. The NFL may add two words to the definition of launch in the official rulebook. Those two words could result in more penalty flags being thrown, and the league hopes fewer injuries.
Yep.
It's illegal to launch into an opponent who's in a defenseless posture, and currently the definition of a launch is when a player, quote, leaves both feet prior to contact to spring forward and upward into his opponent. So you can still dive at a guy, you know,
right.
but you can't launch upward,
yep.
okay? Under the rule proposal by the competition committee, two words would be added to the definition of a launch, so it would read, leaves one or both feet prior to contact to spring forward and upward into his opponent. This rule would need, obviously, 24 of the 32 teams to vote for it in order to pass. What does leave 1 foot mean? Like,
I don't know. I mean, look, is a quarterback defenseless in the pocket when the end's coming around and he gets a free shot at him? Can he not launch? I mean, pass rushers forever, that's part of their game. Unless you want him to run right through him.
Right.
You can't land on
right,
him
which
now.
Which takes
couple steps and the ball could be gone.
Exactly.
A lot of guys, you know, they get on that bend, they bend, they get underneath that tackle's block, and they launch off their feet. Now you're telling me, now okay, 2 feet, I can't do it off two. Now you're telling me I can't even do it at all? I don't know, man. I don't know. It just seems crazy to me. What
Look, whatever it is, you just want to
apply
equally.
You can't land on
it.
You can't
right?
do anything.
Like as Doom tweeted at me earlier today, we were talking about Calais Campbell having 99 sacks.
Right.
He says, fun fact, Calais is 99th. Came against Trevor Lawrence, and he should have been flagged for landing his full weight. That's been an issue with Jaguar fans, and understandably so. You got a franchise now in number 16.
Right.
give him the same protections you're giving these other quarterbacks out there. So
I just, you know, again, I understand you got to protect the big asset, and that's the QB. They're a lot of investment in them. I get that, but don't take it all away. It's a violent game. It's physical. That's what football, what makes it different than pretty much a lot of different sports. But
they are not going to there's no proposal to ban the hip drop.
And that's a bunch of crap, too.
Explain what the hip drop tackle is.
I hope I can explain it words. So a lot of guys now are, when they're making a tackle, instead of tackling normal, wrapping up, bringing them to the ground, landing on them because you can't anymore, they are throwing their lower body to the back of the defender and yanking them backwards. It's kind of like a horse collar without grabbing the horse collar.
A horse collar around the waist almost,
waist.
Like you grab them around the waist, right, the chest. You sink your weight.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to see more and more injuries. I think they got to add a word, inadvertent. And you got to figure out what that means to a T, but you know, that inadvertent content. You know,
I hear you.
I raise my hand. It comes down naturally. It hits the quarterback in the face. I don't mean to do it. Fine. Five-yard penalty, but should it really be
Or inadvertent or incidental, but I think they've gone.
Incidental might be better.
But you're right. They've gone to the extreme.
Right.
Like
we're
going to err on the side of extreme caution. If you get touched, we're going to assume that's a penalty.
Right.
And I get it because, like, a guy could get rocked and – Do you want to leave it in the hands of the referee to judge intent on, you know, you want to take the judgment of intention out of as many plays as possible,
right?
Like, you don't want to be thinking, what was that quarterback trying to tuck the ball back in? Was he not? Like, there's got to be a bright line of what the rule is.
Well, even back to the 1 or 2 feet, like height, like that's just saying you can't do it at all. So just say that then. You can't launch into a player at all.
Yeah, but that they're –
That's further
defining it to expand what a launch is.
Right.
You know, so. Right. Hey,
oh, well.
Is what it is. Look,
they're making all the money.
They are. And you understand.
We're still watching.
At the end of the day, you're still going to watch. Tom, you're so right. All the top television programs are NFL football games. Yep. The most highly rated ones are generally NFL football games. And we complain, we watch anyway.
I'm going to watch.
Still the
regardless.
Best thing going.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. And they are trying to protect their investment. Because think about your team, certainly not Jacksonville, because our man's impervious. But let's say you were in Cincinnati and Joe Burrow goes down again in week 2.
No, right. I get it.
And you're struggling then, you know, man, and you come got December, all this money, you packing that place out. Right. Yeah, yeah. So. No, I'm with you 100%. Yep. All right, let's get to today's question of the day, and let's weigh in on it with a 10-10 take.
10-10.
10-10 take.
Now, Mike Dempsey's 10-10 take, brought to you by Northern Tool. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com. We're made for this.
All right, this is the question the way it reads. As of today, which position do you think the Jacksonville Jaguars are most likely to fill in the first round of this year's draft? Not necessarily what you would do, but as it stands now things will change. If they go out and get a couple of edge rushers who are vets or a cornerback or two, these things could change. Alphabetically, you got corner, you got edge, you got offensive tackle, you got tight end. Let's let this co-host star of the week go first, E.T.
Edge rusher.
Edge rusher. You think they're most likely to take an edge rusher?
Yes.
How come?
The lack of, you know.
The lack of having edge rushers.
And the guy who left the city, who built the city, is no longer here.
So true story.
There's holes there, and we got to get to the quarterback, man. So I think it's going to be edge rusher.
E.T. goes edge rusher. Tom, what do you say?
I'm going to say today, and that's, I mean, I get that too, but I'm going to say corner.
Okay.
I'm going to say, you know what, get me another corner that can be a bookend to Tyson Campbell that's big, fast, can press, can play man, can play cover two all day long, and is physical against the run like Tyson is. So I think that's – now, that could change. Like, Marcus Peters is out there. Can he bring him in on a flyer? Then I would be like, well, no, yeah, you get that. Okay, I feel a little bit better.
Maybe we take one in the third round, yeah.
Or is it the other way? Wait a minute, Frank Clark, Houston, whoever's out.
Sure.
Maybe we bring them in. Then you're like, well, wait a minute. Then, okay, we're there. We're okay there.
Somebody suggested Leonard Floyd on the text line. Great fit, right?
Yeah,
I just can, you know,
fit him
with what cap space. Exactly, right? Like, whatever. Now, At the same time,
yeah,
you know, is he getting to the point where he's like, you know, I'm going to take the best deal that's out there because the money's not being right. splashed around. But as many have talked about, the Jags are in a weird place. They're better off giving a multi-year deal because then you could lower that first-year cap number.
Right.
If you're just doing a one-year deal, it's got to be really low number to fit those guys in.
Yeah,
you know, I would say, by the way, my vote goes offensive tackle.
Okay.
Okay, and my thinking is we don't know if they feel like Walker Little's the right tackle, right? And there's a very good chance that your left tackle currently, Cam Robinson, is either not ready this year or is only going to play one more year here in Jacksonville. Okay. And I just think the pipeline of big guys, I think there are more corners in this draft that I'd be okay with at a certain point.
Yep.
Now, I think the cornerback position, the one you picked, is very close because I think the value of the players in the first round at 24, it's possible there could be a run on the offensive lineman, and you just don't have that value sitting there at 24. Well,
and are you taking, like with a pass rush, and I get it, you got to add pass rush to this team, but are you taking a guy that's just going to play 40%, 50% of the snaps and pay him, you know what I mean? That it's like taking that high, you know? Or is Trevon, like, because in base, is Trevon still my stand-up 3-4 backer? Or is he not? We don't know.
You're right. That's what we talked about. Right. Long term for Josh Allen, short term for Trayvon Walker.
Yep.
How do you plan to deploy those guys? Here's where the votes stand right now. I just navigated off that page, but here we go. Corner getting 54% of the vote.
Okay.
Edge rusher 21.3, offensive tackle 21, and only 3.7% think it's most likely to be a tight end. I think though that is absolutely in play. If there's no long-term deal done with Evan Engram by the start of the draft. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, I tell you what, we'll see. We'll see what XL Primetime is up to next.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL talking with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, XL Primetime today at the famous Quick Lube on University Boulevard South across from Harvey's Supermarket. And look who the cat drug in, Mr. Tony Smith,
hey,
ladies and gentlemen.
Fat Tony.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, we got the grill fired up, guys. We're ready to roll out here from noon to 3. We got the $19.99 special for all XL Primetime listeners who want to come by and get an oil change here at the famous Quick Lube today from noon to 3.
Now, if McManus goes to his deep freeze and pulls out one of those Chuck Eye steaks and comes by, can he slap it on the grill and just cook it up right there?
I'm sure there may be a little bit of space for something like that, but that would be a discussion to have with the grill master over here. Maybe I'll check on the break for you, Tony.
All right. That's very important. Yeah. Tommy's headed to the freezer after this, Tone. Tony, you probably heard us just a moment ago going over our question of the day. Not who you would take, not what, you know, but what position as of today do you think is most likely for the Jags at 24? What do you say?
If I had to vote for one position today, it'd be corner. I just feel like the odds of one of those five or six corners that I think have a real first-round value, they still have a need. As we've talked about over and over, Demps, there's not many positions where a player can walk in as a starter on this team. Corner is one of the obvious ones. So if I had to pick which direction I think they'll go, I'd go with cornerback.
And you did have to pick because we forced you to do it. All right, Tony, what do you got coming up on the program today?
We'll talk Calais Campbell, as I know you guys have been doing throughout the morning as well. So we'll react to Calais visiting here with the Jaguars. We'll react to a pretty fantastic night in the Sweet 16 last night, all things considered. I mean, I think it's fair to consider the tournament to this point a dud, but last night was a lot of fun for basketball fans. So we'll dig into that today as well. Coach Campbell will join us for the second half of the program. And, of course, Lunch with Leon from noon to 1:30 here on XL Primetime.
Awesome. Tony, have a great show and great weekend. We'll see you Monday, buddy.
Thank you very much.
All right, there you go.
All right. XL Primetime coming up. On around here.
We're all about the teamwork, right?
I hear you, man.
DeRocco's on the Frangie show all week. You know, we got a lot of parts that can intermix with each other.
That's right.
They leave me alone right
here. They leave you here.
You know what? If we can find one or two guys that can work with Mike, let's just not push
our luck.
Leave
the bear in his den.
Let's just not
He's
push
okay.
our luck.
Leave
cocaine bear, before there was cocaine bear. by the way, Calais is just trending right now on my Twitter.
But
the word Calais.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's all people inviting him to come back. Come on, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
We want you. I tell you, one of my most interacted with tweets yesterday, I said, you know, like, here's – I'm asking the mayor to come back. We want you. We know you're in town.
Yep.
Please like or retweet to let them know. Or send your own. You know, I don't care. And like, 1,500 interactions, you know, in terms of all that. That's a lot for me in one day.
All right, Leonard Floyd and Calais. Money the same. Who would you rather have on this team going into 2023?
Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'd rather have the guy that's going to get me 10 sacks,
yeah, and
I think.
And I'm moving Trayvon down.
Yeah,
sure.
Oh, absolutely. Right, in that scenario. And so that's me, though.
Yeah, no, I know.
I'd be happy.
I don't think money-wise it'll happen.
I don't either. I think it's Calais is actually more likely. Gettable. So what's the Chuckeye Master doing this weekend? What you got?
We have a dance competition up in Charleston. So my youngest and my number two will be taking classes Saturday and Sunday, and then they compete. Let's see, my youngest competes Friday tonight. Like at 11, which is wild, but it's a big, big competition. And then Saturday night and it's part of Sunday. So,
yeah. All right.
Dance weekend.
Anything for you?
Last weekend, I intentionally didn't want to do anything. It's like I was in recovery mode. This weekend, I don't have nothing planned, but I'm in them streets, my mind.
Look out for him. Hit him up at IME to the T on all those social media platforms, ladies and gentlemen. I got SiriusXM tomorrow night, but other than that, I don't know. Season 2, Episode 1 of Yellow Jackets drops today, and Succession comes out. First episode of the final season. You ever watch that?
No.
You'd love it.
Really?
You'd love Succession.
Okay, I got to get into this.
Yeah, you have HBO or HBO Max?
I do.
Check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, Season 4, final season, starts Sunday.
Oh, well, I better catch up.
Yeah, you got time. Okay. Like anything else. It'll always be there for you. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Tony Smith for all he does for this program, obviously. He hosted XL Primetime with Matt Hayes and Big Sirs and all that coming up on the road today. Of course, E.T., excellent job all week. Co-hosting duties, producing duties, Tom McManus, all our guests this week, including Freddie T., Kyle Brady, Mike DiRocco, among others, and anybody I'm leaving out. I apologize. Appreciate all of you and all of you out there in listener land as well. We'll be just a few days closer to the Lombardi Trophy coming
to
Duval.
Right. That's
when we return on Monday.
Heading your way.
And there you go. For Mr. Chuckeye, Tom McManus, for E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. Thank you for listening to Jaguars Today. We'll be back Monday from 10 to noon on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go.